This is Channel 1 Nova, beginning of Channel 1 Nova, at Nick's visit at supper, the 2nd of September, 71, Channel 1 Nova, and beginning and a continuation of Nick's visit at supper, Thursday night, the 2nd of September, 71.
Her father's dean of the seminary at Virginia Seminary in Alexandria, and they just have a summer house.
It's amazing to have a dean in the seminary.
Oh yeah, I know. Her father's the dean of the seminary at Virginia Seminary in Alexandria.
Where
do you
say
that? And
why does he own Cocoa?
He does.
Don't tell me.
Yeah, he's a dean of the seminary at the same time. Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
It's really, it's a weird combination.
I'd like to see the kind of religion that comes out of that.
it's a weird combination. Well, you know, it was funny the other day. I went to one church where he preached the sermon that Sunday.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's
and
a preacher.
The sermon was about how it doesn't matter how much money you got, it's what you do with it.
Yeah.
It's the sermon, the theme of the sermon, you know.
You
were saying
it down.
What?
You took it down.
What, the sermon?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't do that. All right, not that I couldn't, but I didn't.
Well,
at first,
I
didn't know that he was going to do it that Sunday anyway. But anyway, it was a bit long about, you know, he was poo-pooing the idea about the rich man getting into heaven like a camel through a needle's eye. He said, that's not right. He said, it just depends on what you do with your money. Not to the rich man, just if he's nice and generous with his money, he's just as good off as anybody else. And that was the thing that was tickling me when it coming from him. But, they have that place at Swanee. It's the biggest house in Swanee. You know, the 16 columns in the front with the west narthex and the east transept. You know, it's so big house. It's unbelievable. It's about as big as
old big houses.
Mm-hmm. About as big as administration building. And
well, how did he get into that position over there, Nick?
At the dean?
Yeah.
The dean? Well, I don't know how that came about. That's really strange.
It seems more like he'd be on the board of trustees.
Well, he is.
Directors.
Well, he is. He's everything.
Talk all the time.
Well, he's very one of these refined old gentlemen. Boy, he.
You mean he's refined?
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
He's one of the. He's. Everybody treats him like, you know, the lord of the manor, and he still lives that way too. It's unbelievable. When I came out, the day before he left, Tuesday, he sent word to me by one of his servants, by a note, for me to present myself at 1 o'clock at his house. So I drove out at 1 o'clock. The chauffeur parked my car, and I was escorted into the sitting room.
In your jeans?
No, I dressed up. And so I was sitting in the sitting room, and then another servant came in and escorted me. He said, "The master will now see you in the study." And so I was escorted into the study where he was. And then we had our conversation about how the farrier was going to come to redo his horses 2 Saturdays from now, and I was to be there to make sure that they did it right.
So you
and then the servant showed me out, and another servant opened the door, and another servant brought my car around, and then off I went. But just the whole thing is just like that every day of his life. It's just when I call up Ellen, she say, "Well, Daddy hasn't made his entrance this morning yet, or is it, what is that old formal, and made his appearance yet today, is it? You know, it's not like Dad hadn't come down yet, he hadn't made his appearance." And just like you see in the movies in the 18th century of the royalty in England, is exactly that way with him. And boy, when he talks, every word he says is perfectly concise and just exactly what he meant to say, and it says it just exactly the way he wanted to say it, in just the right number of words, short, to the point, no beating around the bush, no pauses. He just says exactly what he wants to say, just like that. Just in Oxford English, just shoots it right at you. Just
Oxford English.
Oh yeah.
What in the world?
Oh, he was a Rhodes Scholar too.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord.
Yeah. He went to Keble College over there. And yeah, boy, everything is right out of the. That's an amazing world in that house, boy.
Is she the only child?
She was the same. No, she's one of four daughters.
One of four daughters.
Yeah, and they're all just as. They're not snobby or anything like that at all. They're really nice ladies, but they're all just portly and stately and refined and just as.
Oh, are they?
Oh, just. They go out, we go out to ride or go in a cave. You go caving on a caving trip, spelunking. And she'll have on the clothes that just to go in a cave or to go riding. Every wrinkle is right in place, you know, just shoes polished, hair just exactly right.
You mean you saw this person regularly?
Oh, every day.
She old? What age is she?
She's 19.
19. The way you talk about her, she's sort of matronly.
No.
Well, she certainly acts more than 18.
Yes.
19.
Yes.
She acts way more than that.
Well, matronly, you know, is from then on.
She has a sister who's 14 that you'd never know was 14. She looks 25 at least. Just the way she carries herself and the way she dresses. She's just untypical of a girl 14. She's not talkative, running about the house little girl 14. No, she's just as stately as all the rest. 14 years old.
Well.
And they all, I never once this whole summer did I ever see any of them in the same set of clothing.
No.
Never did I see the same dress.
Twice.
Never once. I couldn't believe it.
Well, Nick, how did they stand you?
Well, I put on the. I went over there that. I can play their game. I've been used to it from Richmond.
Well,
so,
they just won through the clothes.
Yeah, I had to sort of fake around with my clothing. But, I got along very well with him. As a matter of fact, it was a real shock. It was a real vote of confidence for me when he asked me to do his horses, because he's got these 8 magnificent thoroughbreds that are hunters and jumpers and things.
Yeah.
They're really his. I mean, his daughter rides one of them. That's one of her. Those are the rest are his.
Yeah.
For his brothers and all that come up to ride, hunt, you know, and all.
And hunt.
Yeah. And there's several ladies on the mountain that teach English riding and have classes and all. Very expert instructors and all in English. And they've all asked him to, because when he's gone 9 months of the year, he's only there in the summer, his horses stay there. They all asked him if they could use their horses in their classes, and or if they could use them or exercise or do anything, you know, he just turns them down flatly every time. He didn't want anybody bothering his horses. And then I didn't even ask him; he asked me if I wouldn't keep his horses exercised. So that was a real. So that was a.
Well, now
I felt very good after that, because.
Now where does that put Ajax?
Oh well, that didn't do anything for him. He even offered me one of his stalls. Said, you just have what you want.
For AJ?
Yeah, bring any horses I want. If I want to bring 30 horses up, he can have the stall filled.
How do you think AJ would like one of those
stalls? Well, I don't know. He might. Oh, there's tons of pasture. Every stall is backed up with a separate pasture. They have these little.
Oh.
They have a great big row of stalls, and each stall is a regular stall in the front, but in the back there's a back door out of each stall with a lane going out to their separate pasture. And no pasture borders on another pasture. There's always a lane in between every pasture, so no horse can ever get to any other horse across the fence.
No.
None of it's barbed wire.
They just don't tempt them.
It's all paneled, whitewashed.
Just big farm.
Yeah.
And he's from Virginia, and this is just a summer home.
They call Swanee their home.
They do call
him. He was the dean of the seminary at Swanee.
Oh.
And the seminary at Alexandria, the Virginia seminary, near about folded, and they needed some good people right quick, so he volunteered to go up there for a couple of years.
To
help them out. And so that's not permanent. That home really is their permanent home, but they're not there for a couple of years now in the winter. Going in the summer now.
Are his wife living?
Oh, yeah. She's another one of those. Looks like a duchess or something.
Immaculate.
They have 18 cars or something. Oh, you wouldn't believe that. Here's a really funny one.
Dick, when Nick, you
when
up there.
When they're gone in the winter, I mean, nobody is there at this big mansion I have. This is as big as the administration building in Gainesville. They're not living there, but they still keep the whole staff of servants. And they leave 3 cars there at the house with a different one parked in front of the house each day. They rotate them and leave just one of the cars parked in front of the house each day, but a different one. And they have these electric eye lights that come on in the whole house when it gets to be certain dark, so that you can never tell that nobody's there. It looks like somebody's there all the time.
Oh.
The grass is cut every day. All the shrubbery is cut back every single day. The servants are all there, the complete staff. They got 6 yard men and 3 maids and 2 cooks and they're all kept up there in the whole, except the one head cook, the lady they have, they take with them to Virginia. All the rest day, the chauffeurs, everybody. And all they do is just sit around and move the cars one a day. So that when you drive by the house, you look and there's a different car and you think somebody's there. It's all the appearance to make it look like there's somebody in the house. The lights come
people
on at
who
night.
Have money.
All through the...
Oh.
All up through the every day of the winter.
Now you've been in the house.
What? he gave me the keys to the house, by the way.
You
so
got a key to the house?
He said, now, when you keep these horses exercised, I better show you. And so, Willard... Ding. You know, Willard comes in. Show this gentleman to the what did he call it? He didn't call it the tack room. He called it something else. It was a name for the room. And so we walked over there. We walked into this room about as big as these 3 put together. And it was just lined with English saddles. The whole wall. And bits and bridles and just wool, everything. Tons of leathers and side saddles even and things like that. He said, now when you ride, you find the saddle that fits you the best and the bit that you like the best, and just use those. And here's the key. And so I had the whole so I had the horse.
Great.
But
here's the key to the place where you could get the saddle anytime you wanted to ride.
Right, anytime I wanted to ride.
Yeah. And you could pick out your horse.
Pick out the horse and the saddle and the bridle.
But you didn't do that.
This is for my use this winter.
Well, you haven't got to that.
And then he gave me a list of all his phone numbers up in Alexandria. His private office phone, his office phone, and then his home phone, his private home phone, and the other number, and the if no answer dial so and so number, and if no answer dial this one. About 10 numbers, he gave them all to me. He said, if anything goes wrong, if you break a leg or something, call me. Collect.
But the main thing is he asked you.
So.
That was really a shocker. And then giving me the keys to the house, there was a bunch of things that were really out on a limb. I don't know whether Ellen put the pressure on. But anyway, I got to him one thing. I was out there with his horses one day. I noticed that his best thoroughbred, a gray, beautiful gray horse, was awful thin. And I said, kind of thin to me. He said, yeah, I don't know what's the problem. He said, it's been kind of thin this summer. I haven't been able to build them up. And so I thought I'd show off something I know I learned from Miss Davis, you know. He said, let me see your feet. And he took me over to his old sweet feet stuff, you know. And so I said, use crimped oats. Like Miss Davis said, more protein and less fat. You know, and I rattled off some of these things Miss Davis said about thoroughbreds, how you have to feed them special things, you know, because they're hot blooded and all. And so he would say, oh, yeah. And so he really, I went up on him for knowing something that he didn't know about his thoroughbred. And so he was kind of impressed with that, I think.
Oh,
I'm glad I learned that stuff from Miss Davis.
Yeah, you can just play Miss Davis against.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I would think he would have had a head groom and a second groom.
Oh, he does. Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. All those people that can that have ordinarily exercised horses before. All the time before, but now.
Well, now, are they all college graduates?
Oh.
Who, the daughters?
No, the grooms.
Oh, I don't know. No, they're all colored men. The whole staff's colored.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Except for there's a couple of yard men that are white. But, yes. Really something.
Well, you know, Nick, it might be useful to a man like that to have a fellow like you. Because you know, you can pick up
well,
all
the
dogs.
Well, yeah, I thought of that, too. There was a couple things.
You know something.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
He, one of his horses had pink eye.
Don't talk about pink eye.
And so,
the horses, though.
I was telling him a little bit about that, you know, how you can make it go away and it wasn't bothering at all. And like that. There was another thing he didn't know. He was all worried about
it. And I don't mumble like I don't know anything about it.
Well, you never have.
I didn't know a horse had pink eye.
Oh, yeah. They get it. They get it just like cows do.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you
all
kind of thought it too.
You know, I had the worst outbreak of pink eye I ever had.
That's what I heard.
And the cows were the healthiest they'd ever been. Which went clear against my view of the world.
Just big, fat, nice cows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny.
After a while, I was washing the face of about half of them, as I ever tell you. Oh, never that much. 4 or 5 at a time,
no,
though.
Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell you.
Well, that's all we did to his horse.
Say,
and it cleared right up.
Yeah.
That's all we did to his horse. He cleared right up.
Is that right?
He was worried that his horse might lose his eye.
Well,
I told him, no, it wasn't any problem. And then when it happened, he was all the more impressed. I predicted it right, I think.
You sound a little difficult now. You don't want to.
Yeah. Well.
I got Mr. Weaver and Cookie sort of working against each other with these cows.
Oh, really?
And they helped me more than that. And it was much simpler than I thought it was. You know, the cow's hoofs right in between them, they've got a strip of flesh
mm-hmm.
with no hair on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time in my life I ever saw it irritated. And what happened apparently, you see, it's that we've just been having grass rain, and the water, there's no water out there in the swamp. And they have to chug out to the little water hole. And that old muck got fungus in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you see, it gets irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed two or three of them limping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was several days before I found out that they were all irritated. They hadn't got to the point where they were limping. Pappy limped first. And that's what it was. And Mr. Weaver, can you write off what to do? He said, just put salt on it. Salt poultice. And it'll draw that right out. Could we say the same thing?
So you did?
Yeah.
And it did?
It did.
Except for this one, that's real bad.
Well, that's an exception. I didn't know, I lost track of her. You see,
oh,
she stayed down
out?
Back there for a week or 10 days, and I didn't know she had it. So.
Mm-hmm. But she'll come around, won't she?
Yeah, she's about pretty
mm-hmm.
fair. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, animals like that, though, you see, the grooms will watch them so much.
Yeah, they don't have
much
problem.
They won't have a problem. I see, if I'd watched these, just going out there with ordinary inspection, like I have done from time to time,
mm-hmm.
I'd have noticed it. But see, I looked at them and I didn't want to see it.
They just looked so fat and pretty and nice that you just didn't want to see anything else. You didn't see it.
Right.
Didn't look for nothing. Never had anything. So I didn't see how you went far. Well, what does it, do the girls have? Many friends are around in the whole in that Swanee. They do this.
Yeah.
Are they not looked upon as being snooty?
Oh, no. Everybody in the whole town loves them.
Loves the girls, and
yeah.
they mix and mingle with them.
Oh yeah.
With all the old.
Mm-hmm.
They brought up there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they were brought up there. Of course, they naturally
mm-hmm.
would be.
Well, you've known them then.
I just knew of them, really,
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
I think I maybe met them before, but this is the first time I come into close contact with them.
Well, how'd you get in touch with
just met.
Well, the first... They went off to... He took that position at the seminary up there.
Yeah.
At the beginning of my sophomore year, that meant they weren't here for 3 years during the winter when I was there. And they were in the summer when I was gone.
Yeah.
But see, my freshman year, they were still there and when I was there, and I met them, I think. I remember meeting them all then, but only once. And then this summer when I was up there, the first time I came in contact with them again was... I was riding one day, riding Jimmy's horse, and I came upon Ellen riding alone on her horse out in the woods along some path, and got talking, and I had remembered meeting her, 4 years ago. And
so it just came all about
and
through,
so and yeah right she was riding the horse that had the pink eye thing, and she was worried, and I told her I'd come out and help her with it or something, and her daddy was out there the next day, and that was when that happened, and then from then on, ever since then, I always, all summer, that was right at the beginning of the summer.
She got you into things, didn't she?
Yeah. I'm afraid it was her that talked her daddy into that, into wanting me to do this thing with her horses.
Yeah. And now, how'd you get into this building thing? Was that through her too?
No. No, that was, well, I had my, that last semester I had a course under the president of the university, who was a cousin of mine too, and I always known him. They're old friends, and I had a course under him too that last semester. And I knew that this was his last year. And
oh, wait a minute, I was getting mixed up. They're two different people, Ellen's father
yeah.
And the president, yeah.
Yeah, well, the house building was not even
yeah.
connected with Ellen.
Yeah.
She would come over to the house while we were building lots.
Well, Nick, that I think what's in demand now, anybody can't compete with that. I think that's what's in demand. Keep in touch with these horses and things like that.
Yeah.
And you know, get your vocabulary up on all these things.
Boy, talking with him, you got to. I'm sort of nervous. Wonder if my English was right, just right. Talking with these old bums around the country. I got off in the sloppiest English talking with these people around, you know, out in the country,
yeah.
talking like they did.
Well,
I was embarrassed talking to him because I was sure I was going to make some terrible grammar mistakes.
Well, he's not so scholarly, he's cultivated.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's right. He's scholarly too.
Well,
but he's really cultivated,
mean,
all right.
I mean, a scholar in the professional sense. He's more cultivated.
Yeah. More just a country gentleman than.
You don't get that much, do you? You
mm-hmm.
run into it, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I just had a little bit of it there in Richmond. But not anything like this, even in Richmond.
Now, you see, even it's funny there that with the undergraduates, all those people are scholars, you see.
Yeah.
And they don't have a cultivated instinct.
No, that's right.
Mr. Lytle had it one time.
Long time ago.
But he's just too brainy.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's just too brainy.
Yeah, there's nobody else like that up there.
Yeah.
No.
Are you lucky just to get a little touch of it?
That's a nice little touch.
Yeah. Now, you see, you don't need to be a scholar yourself to appreciate it. I mean, you can just be cultivated yourself, see? I'm just talking. I'm not telling anything.
Sure.
Well, help me out. I haven't run into anything like that.
Well, there certainly are many.
Not that.
The
the talk I hear is better out here in the country than it
yeah.
is.
Well, he doesn't. Well, now that's the funny thing about him. When he's away from his house and his mansion, he's a different sort of. When he's out downtown or out somewhere else, he's not like he is. You never know that he was what he is if you just met him on the street.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, he can bring himself down to anybody's level, I think.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing him after church mingling with the crowd, and he just was
yeah.
like in the ordinary. There was none of this regalness about him like was it when he gets in his house. When he gets there,
yeah.
everything changes.
Now, you don't type.
Yes.
He's a professional type.
Yeah, but you don't type what you think. You just type of the page.
Well, depends on how much I got to say and how important it is. I have done that before, put down things that I wanted to remember.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about.
I'm not talking about things worth remembering. I'm talking about reporting. Reporting, you see. Like that Thanksgiving when you came back.
Yeah.
But you don't have to build up for Thanksgiving, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I go on my rounds here, you see, and talk with them 15, 20 minutes, and I just got to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you've been in this other world.
Yeah.
And you've had a pretty good glimpse of it.
You get enough English down here. You come by here once or twice a year, and I'll fill you up with English. I give you all English. You don't use what you've got, you see. I don't know what you want with it anymore. And you use this other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't be a damn fool now.
Well,
I mean, you just go in the direction. You see where it's useful. That's part of it. I would if I see. I don't know how to do that. Nobody's going to come around and give me the keys to the cow shed.
Get me to tear down the house and rebuild it.
Now that's right.
Either. Yeah. Tear down the house and rebuild it.
Is he going to...
You going to stay with us tonight?
South tonight?
Well, I don't know.
He's kind of late, it is. It depends. Way you can sleep in the house, or I think it might be better if you slept upstairs. You might be cooler. I'm not sure about that.
What, in the trailer?
Not sure about you sleep in the trailer if you want to. It's made up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be less trouble.
Well, Rick slept in his last, didn't he? There's so much bed upstairs. Yeah.
I gotta get off in the morning. I got,
You're gonna play tennis tomorrow.
Yeah, I got that.
On a sore foot.
They signed me up without me knowing it.
Always Labor Day, the weekend.
It's that Labor Day tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And see that I won it last year, so the committee that makes up those things just presume that I would be back since I won it last year. And they just put me down and then informed me that I was entered.
Yeah. Well, that's no red tape about it.
No red tape.
Last year you was worried about money. Last year. And Labor Day.
Yeah.
I know, I guess your foot will hold you up.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll heal overnight.
Well, if you'd like to sleep a few hours here, you can do it, or if you think you need to go on, just so we know that you're going to come back and take your animal with you.
Oh, I'm certainly going to do that.
Oh.
I don't know. I may go up to New York.
That's
day after tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's that big
that's
tournament.
That other tournament.
Mm-hmm. Have you been
but
playing
also
this summer, you said?
Yeah, I've been
practice.
Playing a little bit this summer. Ellen plays.
She does play,
mm-hmm.
So. And you want to go by
but
home. You probably will see.
Yeah, I got to go by there, too.
Yeah, you got to go by there, too.
But see, I've got to take sister back to school.
Oh yeah.
Along about the 10th or 11th or something, September.
They just use some time to these sisters.
Yeah. Well, I got to go back up there anyway. Because I got to see that guy's barrier when he comes. Make sure he does put the shoes on right. Because I'm sure all of his servants make little reports, and if they made it in their little report that I wasn't there, I'm sure that would be bad.
Yeah. You're getting better.
I gotta be sure to be there at 9 o'clock on Saturday to watch the guy put the horseshoes on. But so long about the 11th or 12th or so. Gotta take just to school, but I was thinking that I might come up before then. If there's any time, I can find some time. Now that I'm not taking classes, I sort of much have to winter. And I'm not confined by the weekdays. I can take off.
I'd more like it.
I can take off now during the week, anytime. Go anywhere.
Give it that softened your brain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Mr. Lytle's course, though, which is offered at night, one day a week. I'm going to sit in on that.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, one course. That's
yeah.
Cool.
One course.
Well, after all, one course, but look what it is.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
But you don't, you're not going to make any records out of those things, and you don't report on anything.
Well, I made that one tape. Was that any good? Did you look
yes.
at that? That one of Mr. Lytle?
Yes. It was just mediocre. But it's better than nothing. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, you need a commentary to go with it.
Yeah. You mean, how was it mediocre so I know how to do it better? Was it mediocre quality or mediocre what he said or what?
No, I wouldn't say what he said for the mediocre. That would excuse my limits. Yeah, I wouldn't fuss with the quality. It was what you'd call a working tape.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't listen to it to soothe your nerves,
yeah.
but you didn't make it for that.
Yeah.
Working tape.
That's right, yeah.
But a working tape, you see, you ought to work it up.
I see, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, all these little things, Cookie sat here this afternoon and talked about Clay...
Bullard.
He said, just out of the blue sky before he left, he's eating there, just a little bite before he left. And he looked up and he says, I sure would like to tear into a few of them up there. He wants to trade a little bit while he's there. I said, oh, he says, in a number. Well, I said, who? Well, he says, Clay Bullard. I said, I don't believe I've heard you talk about him. And he looked up, he's brightening all the time, and he said, oh, that's a long story. Well, I said, line it out. Well, he said it happened 20 years ago. And what it was, Clay Bullard was a banker. And he and Cookie's daddy were in business together. And he'd inquire around and find a bunch of cattle and send Mr. Cook and Cookie out to look at them. And they'd be out in the swamp or across the mountain. See on a footpath or a dog path. They'd come back and report to him, and he says, all right, here's the money, go buy them. So that's what he remembers. That's a pretty rough life, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he told, I said, well, now how, that's how he got you. And he said his daddy got him. So he gave several cases of how his daddy worked him over. He had an old cow, a big old cow at one time, that just a gentle 40-round bucket, but every now and then she'd take a notion that she wouldn't be milked, and she'd kick the hinges off. And Clay Ballard's brother-in-law wanted a milk cow. And they just put that in the truck and took it down there, and he'd glad to get it. But in some little time, they heard from him. And you know, they got another one. See, I don't know how in the world they do it, see. He said his daddy had this bull now. He had this, that's one of his mistakes. He says that has been one of his great mistakes. Says he's got a 6-strand fence that the billy goats can't get through. But that Charley don't pay a bit of attention to it. Well, I said, how are you going to get him down there? He says in this little truck. He just put a ring in his nose and tie him down and send him down. Well, anyhow, you see, that's the sort of thing that's in his mind. Now, that's, what did I tell him, Clay? Huh?
Tell him about the story about Clay.
What was I tell him about reporting?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Reporting.
All right. Now, you see, I've got to line that out on a piece of paper. I can't just leave it on tape. Be perfectly incomprehensible. But you're too damn lazy. Mentally, you just too lazy.
Well,
you build a 3-story house, but you won't build a 3-story typewriter.
Well, now that I'm through building houses, maybe I can build a typewriter.
No, you don't do that. You have to have the urge. I don't know what made Ms. Rawlins and people like her. You see, there was something in the air that made them, you see, and now there's something there that makes them not. I don't know what it is. I have not the faintest idea what it is. I have no diagnosis, except that I see the gifted people don't go in that direction. They hire out. They work for the institution. And pretty soon, you see, they...
Yeah.
You'd think that...
That's what it is.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But your little tapes, you see, you can tape if you want to, if you have the urge and you don't. You could tape that. You know, this preacher, this Anna's preacher, he had this little sermon one time. And he was so discouraged. And he just let me have that, just happened to let me have it. Oh, he wanted some copies of it. Send his And I heard that, and it was one of the most lyric little things. I can't tell you what was in it, but he just an old, hard, muscle preacher, you see, Midwest, and no sensibilities, at least in my sense of it. And there was that beautiful little sermon. It was one of the most touching things I ever. But you see, I played it in class one day, just short. And you know, they jumped on in both feet. They say, that fella got no sense. You know, things like that. Well, they had no way of knowing. They thought he was a young man, middle aged. They didn't know what he was. He'd been retired twice. And he'd been to school all his life. He was learned, as ministers go. And they would have to have a commentary to get into it. just like you would on one of Mr. Lytle's stories,
mm-hmm.
or Flannery Connor. You simply, it's simply not possible to get into any, in my view, any artistic piece without just a plain prose commentary. Just set down your typewriter and put on what's in it. That's right. Make the tape and then say what's in it. And then you got, that's interesting. The only trouble is you get so much experience, you can't, it swamps you. And don't you know, Colonel Higginson kept saying to Emily Dickinson that she ought to get out where she could see life, and she kept telling him, you know, that she had so much life already that she couldn't see it. And she had to hide. She had to hide. You see, her sensibilities were so great. With that raw experience, you see, she was swamped.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or other, she had to limit herself so that her mind would work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is that works, you see, with you when you get too much experience. Just raw experience. Not your mind. I don't know what it is. You go to a movie, that's what I tell the person. But they don't want to look at the one they've been to. They want to go to a new one. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know. So you build one sink, and you just keep building them. And, I mean, any way you look at it. See, Faulkner talked about that in the Hamlet, but nobody I have seen so far knows that he talks about that in the Hamlet. And that's the chief burden of Ratcliffe. His inquiry. Ratcliffe's inquiry. In the Hamlet. And it's too much for me. But Emily said, you see, that it's not the perception that gives you truth, but it's the artistic use of it. It's using it, you see, handling it. You can have all the experience there, and it doesn't help you unless you handle it. And by handling it, that means putting it on your typewriter or reporting on it, you see, like that. Now, Ellen doesn't know that.
No, no.
But she might be gifted, you know,
mm-hmm.
if she had a little sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
She might.
I think she probably is. She's extremely intelligent.
Well, intelligence, very often, more than likely, is it makes it more difficult for them.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, it depends on how it is.
Like Dean Surratt, I've heard him say, you know, that the old B students were the ones that did the best from Vanderbilt in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have B students anymore. They're all A's and A pluses
mm-hmm.
in Vanderbilt. So, you see, the world
yeah.
is so brilliant. And the brilliant stand in the way.
Well, you see, instead of putting it down, I could just come down here and talk to you and you can do it. And I wouldn't have to do it.
Well, I think God would help you. I think before you can do much, I think you've got to be close to what you know my term the critical
superstructure.
Critical superstructure. You see. I've got all that critical background from Emerson, though. And I've worked at it, you see. But it's not just me working, you see. I've worked with look how many groups.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them had more sense than I had. And I picked up no end of things from them, see. So I'm a sort of bank.
Mm-hmm.
And think that's right. I think you've got to be, I think you've got to have a little critical superstructure. More than you, you see, you don't have time to do it. And it just takes so long. The background, it takes such a background.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzanne's been working out here this summer. And it's, you know, for one thing I noticed, she gets so discouraged when she sees what there is, and she's right perceptive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when she sees those things and sees that she has never seen them before, and how much there is to see, and she got to rush home and put food on the table for them. You see, they've got all those small commitments.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have them.
Not yet, no.
Well,
except as you manufacture them.
That's true. But I certainly do manufacture a lot.
But keep clear of them, you see. Keep clear of them.
Yeah, but each one leads to such nice things.
You see, you ought to be able to put a salt poultice on that poisonous notion.
Are you 23?
Yes, sir. Now that's a tempting thing, you see. Yeats wrote in his poetry, you see, that the young, you see, is so enamored with their there's no sight there. Just the fact that they're young, it's in the poetry.
Sure.
Now, I've found out different. I have found that some of the young you see, the young don't have the protection, the caution. They don't. They're too trusting. They trust institutions, and all the institutions you see will swamp you. Not a single one of them is worth a hoot. Not an institution. It'll drown you. Any institution will drown you. You see, you've got to fend against it. Position of doubt is your only salvation. You can go up there and tend to the man's hoofs, but you got to say all the time, here I am frittering away my time on this man's old fool horses. You see, you've got to take a position of doubt to keep your mind working. And then you make something out of it. Position of doubt. Now you see, that's not the conservative position. The conservative position is mostly flat-headed. People with much mentality never maintain it. This fella on Channel 5, he's about as flat as anybody you get. What's his name? You know, the man who's so smart.
Buckley.
He not got 2 cents. He not got anything. His use of the language is like Vice President...
Agnew.
It's just about on the par with Agnew. He don't know half the words he uses. Actually, I'm overstating it. Now, where did I start from, see?
And Nick could have a rebuttal at this point because
no, your position is dialed is an entirely different thing, you see, from any of all of that other stuff. Position of doubt, that's where you get your salvation. You want to save the country, you want to save yourself. But now you see, that's your superstructure. Now that's not telling you anything, you see, it's just shaking you up. So you can see. You know the thing that you sing, one of the things, very simple thing, one of the things that happened to Suzanne. She was a senior, a junior, I forget what she was. I think she was a junior then. Oh, she was a senior then, yes. In the fall, you see, she'd been down here 1 year. And this was the senior year then. And she had all these nice courses. She'd already shown that she could make A's. That's Kathy. That's Kathy.
Yeah,
she's Kathy. Mr. Handsome Brad. And she was in all these courses, and she was just sort of at loose ends. They drove up, you know this, you've heard me tell it. She drove up out here one Sunday, and I was going out the front lane. She hopped in this old red car with me, and I was going over to tape some country music at Louis Graham's. And when I got over there, I thought she'd be bored to death, and her eyes started to sparkle. She's got right bright eyes, you know, when she gets interested. All she heard when she went to the Caper Gym was that damned old Western music. Jim even liked it and brought it back up here, you see. So she was familiar with it. And on the way home, it came up. What is it they see in it? And the one thing that made it possible for her to live with them down there, actually, and take an interest in them, is they see Georgia. Now, they never lived in Georgia. They left Georgia before they were old enough to know what it was like. But they wanted to go back. And you know the story of that. Buell bought up a place up there and all like that. She pursued that. And that put life in her for the fall. Just that one little point. You see that old cheap music? It cheapened them. Until, you know, she could make contact with it. And what they see in that, you see, is
I went out there with you one night to tape that. Tape Louise singing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That gospel singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the.
She ran. She got in. Did you know the Grand Ole Opry had, was it on a chain?
No.
Yes. They put out. You can have a little community thing. And people pay.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do that. And she got in on that. She's not above. She made a lot of money. She's not above making a little more, you know. And I don't think she did.
She got in on that. Huh?
Yes. But anyhow, she was right, you know, community.
Mm-hmm.
Spirited, if
mm-hmm.
that's the word. And she was nice to talk to. Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was sorry to have to abandon it over there,
mm-hmm.
but I never made contact with her, actually. She was much more interested than in the weightlifters. What do you call it? The weight people?
Watchers.
Weight watchers. than she was in anything I had to offer.
Boy's got to go and play tennis tomorrow. He better decide where he's going to sleep. Upstairs or in the trailer. Lenny slept upstairs.
My old trailer place again.
He's just going to the old trailer and do just like you want to. Okay?
If it's all made up,
yes.
I don't.
Okay.
I had to get up at 5.
Oh Lord.
I got up at 5:30 this morning.
You got it 5:30. And beat your way.
Oh Lord.
I think they must have gotten up at 5:30 and they took them. Been on the beach. I'm walking on the
beach. Let's see, well, Nick, I'll go over the trailer and see if they can. You come back by the trailer. We got
to
go out there. I swear, there's some cows from the south.
Oh.
I might. I'll try.
Well, sure. I'll go with you. I suspect to.
Well, I'll wash the dishes. You, I've washed one.
They just got through. They won't move.
I just need to get a pillowcase.
Just need to get a pillowcase.
Yeah. Okay. All you need to do is enter that water over in the pan, I think.
Okay. You can open it up and let it air out a little bit.
Well, you can come to me as well.
That's the end of Channel 2 Over. This report of Nick after the whole summer. This Thursday, the 2nd of August, September 1971, after supper. He even had supper. And that's the Nick's report after the whole summer. This Thursday after supper. Or during supper and before supper, this Thursday, the 2nd of September, 1971. This is the end of Channel 1 Over, 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 1971.